रहे हो CGSF 90.1 FM, जो कि बर्नबी ब्रिटिश कोलंबिया में स्थित है.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! War, Peace, and the Presidency. On Tuesday, November 5th, I'll be joined by Juan Gonzalez, Nermeen Sheikh, and guests from around the country for a live election night special. I hope you'll tune in at democracynow.org from 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for our one-of-a-kind reporting and analysis on this critical election. This is Democracy Now!
There's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is trash. We are Americans, Donald Trump.
With just 1 week until Election Day, outrage is mounting following Donald Trump's campaign rally at Madison Square Garden Sunday, what the New York Times called a closing carnival of grievances, misogyny, and racism. We'll speak with Gene Guerrero, author of Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump, and the White Nationalist Agenda, and fascism expert Ruth Ben-Ghiat. We'll also speak to Marshall Curry, who directed an Academy Award-nominated short film, A Night at the Garden, about the 1939 Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden. He attended Trump's rally Sunday. Then, as billionaire Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos defends his decision to block the paper from endorsing Kamala Harris, as hundreds of thousands of subscribers quit the paper, we'll speak with Pulitzer Prize-winning Post reporter David Hoffman, who resigned from the editorial board in protest, and with Los Angeles Times editorials editor Mariel Garza. She resigned from the LA Times after the paper's billionaire owner also blocked the editorial board's endorsement of Harris.
I quit in protest after the owner of the newspaper blocked the editorial board, of which I am a part, from endorsing anybody. We wanted to endorse Kamala Harris and thought there was no other alternative. And he said no without a reason. I thought it was really important to take a stand in these really dangerous times.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In northern Gaza, at least 93 Palestinians, including children, were killed today when an Israeli airstrike leveled a five-story apartment building sheltering displaced families in Beit Lahia. Dozens of wounded people were rushed to the Kamal Adwan Hospital, only to be denied care. Just one doctor and a few exhausted medical workers remain at the hospital after Israeli forces in recent days raided the facility, separated men and women, arrested much of the remaining staff and patients. UN Human Rights Chief Volker Turk has called Israel's ongoing siege of northern Gaza the darkest moment of the conflict.
The Israeli government's policies and practices risk emptying the area of all Palestinians. We are facing what could amount to atrocity crimes, including potentially extending to crimes against humanity.
Israel's parliament, the Knesset, has approved a law banning the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine from operating inside Israel and the occupied Palestinian territories. The UN agency, known as UNRWA, is tasked with providing food, health care, and social services to Palestinians as a critical lifeline to Gaza's surviving 2.3 million residents who face widespread famine and malnutrition due to Israel's unrelenting year-long assault. The ban on UNRWA was approved in a 92-10 vote with the full support of the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's ruling Likud party. Israeli lawmaker Sharon Haskell co-authored the legislation.
If the United Nations is not willing to clean this organization from terrorism, from Hamas activists, then we have to take measures to make sure that they cannot harm our people ever again.
Philippe Lazzarini, the head of UNRWA, called the bill's passage a dangerous precedent, collective punishment, and a violation of the UN Charter and international law. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called it unacceptable and said the ban would have devastating consequences for Palestinian refugees. Its passage has increased support for a Palestinian Authority initiative to expel Israel from the United Nations General Assembly. Lebanon's health ministry says at least 60 people were killed as Israeli strikes pounded the eastern Bekaa Valley, including the city of Baalbek. At least two of the dead were children. The killings bring the death toll from Israeli attacks on Lebanon to over 2,700. Meanwhile, multiple Israeli airstrikes on Monday collapsed entire residential buildings and sparked fires in the southern port city of Tyre. A survivor said the attacks were aimed at civilians.
What do you expect us to do? They fired at random. They are not hitting military targets. They are only targeting civilians. Can you see people fighting? Why are they targeting us? Are we fighting them?
Meanwhile, Hezbollah has announced Naim Qassem will succeed Hassan Nasrallah, Secretary General, following Israel's assassination of Nasrallah in an airstrike last month. Qassem said Hezbollah fighters are continuing to repel Israeli attacks along the border and that the group's military structure remains intact. South Africa Monday filed over 750 pages of evidence in its genocide case against Israel at the International Court of Justice in The Hague. South Africa says the documents lay out how Israel is, quote, promoting the destruction of Palestinians living in Gaza, physically killing them with an assortment of destructive weapons, depriving them access to humanitarian assistance, causing conditions of life which are aimed at their physical destruction, and using starvation as a weapon of war and to further Israel's aims to depopulate Gaza through mass death and forced displacement of Palestinians, unquote. Over 30 countries and regional blocs are supporting South Africa's case at the International Court of Justice. In Jerusalem, hundreds of protesters rallied outside Israel's Knesset Monday to demand a Gaza ceasefire deal and an exchange of hostages. Israeli police arrested nine of the protesters as they nonviolently blocked a road near the residence of Prime Minister Netanyahu.
It's solidarity with the hostages. We want our prime minister to make a deal, to cut a deal. We want the war to stop. We want the stop of killing and everything. We want, a sane country. That's it. We want to live. I'm 55 years old. I have four kids. I'm doing this for my kids.
More than 1,000 writers and publishing industry figures have signed on to what they're calling the largest ever cultural boycott against Israeli institutions. In an open letter, the authors denounce the ongoing genocide in Gaza, writing, quote, Israeli cultural institutions often working directly with the state have been crucial in obfuscating, disguising, and art-washing the dispossession and oppression of millions of Palestinians for decades, unquote. Donald Trump is appearing before supporters in Allentown, Pennsylvania today as fallout mounts over his racist Madison Square Garden rally, which included this now viral so-called joke from the right-wing so-called comic Tony Hinchcliffe.
There's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah, I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Allentown, Pennsylvania is a majority Latinx city, home to 34,000 Puerto Ricans. Pennsylvania, the state, is home to 450,000 Puerto Ricans. Puerto Rican celebrities, including Bad Bunny and Ricky Martin, showed their support for Kamala Harris following the comments. Bad Bunny endorsed her. CNN has banned the right-wing commentator Ryan Gerdusky after he told Zateo journalist Mehdi Hassan on air, quote, I hope your beeper doesn't go off. It was a reference to Israel's terrorist attack in Lebanon last month that killed 37 people and injured thousands by implanting and detonating explosives and personal pager devices. This is their exchange Monday on CNN Newsnight.
Nobody wants to be called Nazis. It's very inflammatory. But if you don't want to be called Nazis, stop doing...
You're called an anti-Semite. You've been called an anti-Semite more than anyone else at this table.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people with their... No, by me. I never called you an anti-Semite. Okay. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying
I'm a supporter of the Palestinians, so I'm used to it.
I hope your beeper doesn't go off. The thing is
Did
that
you just say I should die.
You should not.
No,
I Did said, you just say
no,
I should be killed?
No.
Host Abby Phillip apologized to Mehdi Hassan following the incident, and CNN released a statement reading, quote, there is zero room for racism or bigotry at CNN or on our air. Philadelphia's District Attorney Larry Krasner suing Elon Musk over his $1 million daily giveaways to Pennsylvania voters, calling it a, quote, illegal lottery scheme. Musk's super PAC has already handed out over $9 million to swing state voters, roughly half of them in Pennsylvania. Donald Trump's vowed to create an official position for Musk and his administration if Trump is reelected. The FBI says it's investigating three separate but related arson attacks on ballot boxes in the Pacific Northwest. One of the attacks destroyed hundreds of ballots in Washington State's Clark County, a precinct that's home to a closely watched congressional race in Vancouver. Other attacks damaged ballot boxes in Portland, Oregon, and nearby Vancouver, Washington. Police in Portland have identified a suspect vehicle in the case. Oregon's Secretary of State condemned the arson as, quote, an attack on our democracy, unquote. And the World Meteorological Association warned Monday the world is falling miles short on action to stave off the worst impacts of climate change, with carbon dioxide concentrations soaring to a record high of 420 parts per million last year. The WMO says the last time the Earth's atmosphere held so much carbon dioxide was 3 to 5 million years ago, when global temperatures were up to 4 degrees Celsius warmer and sea levels were 10 to 20 meters higher. Co Barrett is the WMO's Deputy Secretary General.
Carbon dioxide is accumulating in the atmosphere faster than at any time experienced during human existence. And because of the extremely long lifetime of CO2 in the atmosphere, we are committed to rising temperatures for many, many years to come.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I am Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, with just 1 week until Election Day, outrage is mounting following Donald Trump's campaign rally at Madison Square Garden Sunday. The New York Times described it as a closing carnival of grievances, misogyny, and racism, unquote. During the event, one speaker described Puerto Rico as an island of garbage. Trump also continued to spew his racist rants and lies about immigrants, doubling down on his promise to enforce, quote, the largest deportation program in American history, unquote, and claiming the United States is now an occupied country. Trump also described Democrats as the enemy from within. Other speakers included Trump's running mate J.D. Vance, tech billionaire Elon Musk, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tucker Carlson, Hulk Hogan, Stephen Miller, the architect of Trump's white nationalist anti-immigrant policies, which include the separation of families seeking asylum in the U.S.-Mexico border. These are some of the voices from the rally.
The United States is now an occupied country, but it will soon be an occupied country no longer. On day one, I will launch the largest deportation program in American history.
America is for Americans and Americans only.
It's going to be pretty hard to look at us and say, you know what? Kamala Harris, she got 85 million votes because she's just so impressive. As the first Samoan Malaysian low IQ former California prosecutor ever to be elected president.
She is the devil, whoever screamed that out. She is the Antichrist.
She is some sick bastard, that Hillary Clinton, huh? What a sick son of a bitch. The whole party, a bunch of degenerates, low lives, Jew haters, and low lives.
And these Latinos, they love making babies, too. Just know that. They do. They do. There's no pulling out. They don't do that. They come inside, just like they did to our country. Republicans are the party with a good sense of humor. There's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
There's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Those the words of the conservative so-called comedian Tony Hinchcliffe at Trump's rally Sunday in Madison Square Garden. Trump's campaign has faced widespread anger and condemnation from elected officials, Latino groups, prominent Puerto Rican leaders from both political parties, including the head of Puerto Rico's Republican Party, as well as Republican Congressmember Maria Alvarez Salazar, who represents parts of Miami and has attended Trump rallies. Vice President Kamala Harris called the remarks nonsense, while Puerto Rican music stars Bad Bunny and Ricky Martin quickly announced their endorsement of Harris following Trump's rally. Reactions to the racist comments included this response on ABC's The View from co-host Sunny Hostin. Her mother is Puerto Rico. Hostin looked into the camera as she addressed Trump directly.
Puerto Rico is trash. We are Americans, Donald Trump. Americans. And we vote. Pennsylvania is home to almost 500,000 Puerto Ricans. North Carolina, 115,000. Georgia, 100,000. Arizona, 64,000. Wisconsin, 61,000. Michigan, 43,000. Nevada, 27,000. We vote, Donald Trump. Trash.
For more, we go to Los Angeles, where we're joined by Jean Guerrero, contributing opinion writer for The New York Times, author of the book Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump and the White Nationalist Agenda, and Crux, a cross-border memoir, which won a Penn Literary Award. She's a senior journalism fellow at the UCLA Latina Futures 2050 Lab. Jean, welcome back to Democracy Now! Well, why don't you just respond to what happened on Sunday? 20,000 people gathered at Madison Square Garden. Talk about what they heard.
Well, what we saw there was an extreme escalation of the Latinophobic rhetoric that has defined the Trump campaign. And I want to respond, first of all, to the comments that were made about Puerto Rico. As a Puerto Rican woman with family on the island who was raised by a Puerto Rican mother who taught me to love this country, to work hard for this country, to defend the vulnerable in this country, all of which are appear to be foreign concepts to Donald Trump. I felt very personally offended by these comments, but also was filled with a renewed conviction to defeat Trump, which I think a lot of Puerto Ricans are feeling right now. The bottom line is these comments are evidence that the Trump campaign has nothing to offer the American people besides more hate and more division. They want to divide the Puerto Rican diaspora from the residents of the island. They want to divide Mexican Americans from Central American immigrants. They want to divide Latino men from Latino women. But these divisive tactics are not going to work. They've become extremely old, and people, Latina women and Latinos in general, are organizing in response to this extremely racist rally and making sure that they're going to defend their communities. But in general, what these comments also showed during this rally is that they're seeking to restrict the notion of what it means to be American, who is American, as we saw from Stephen Miller's comments about America is for Americans only. They're trying to restrict what it means to be American and laundering it through racist jokes. But newsflash to the Trump campaign, as other speakers have said before, Puerto Ricans are Americans, they are citizens, and they're going to vote. They're going to make sure that Trump never again steps foot in the White House.
And Jean, I'm wondering if you could talk about the potential impact of this, especially in Pennsylvania, where not only is Philadelphia the home of the second largest Puerto Rican population in the U.S. For of any city after New York. But there are these other cities in Pennsylvania. Reading is 67% Latino, and Allentown, 54%, Lancaster, 40%. There's an enormous, and most of these are Puerto Ricans. There's an enormous Puerto Rican population in all these small towns in Pennsylvania, in addition to Philadelphia, that I'm sure this is going to have an enormous effect on what, as these folks go to the polls this week.
Absolutely. I mean, Puerto Ricans are something like half of the Latino vote in Pennsylvania and are a significant portion of the Latino vote and of the vote in general in the other battleground states. And so I think what we're going to see as a result of this completely unacceptable rhetoric is the mobilization of the Puerto Rican vote. And we're going to see people show Donald Trump that we are not going to be divided, that the Puerto Rican diaspora, regardless of not living on the island, we have family on the island. We are proud to be Puerto Rican. And what that also means is that we're proud to be American. When the Republicans are trashing Puerto Rico, they're trashing America. And it's no different from the way that Donald Trump talks about the United States as a dumping ground. Love of country has become a completely foreign concept to the Republican Party, as revealed by their complete disdain for Latino Americans, for Puerto Rico, and for anyone from the region of Latin America. And what you're going to see as a result of that open disdain, which has been going on for years, but has been significantly escalated as of the past couple of days, is a historic mobilization of the Latino vote. And we're going to make sure that Donald Trump never again is able to wield his power to oppress our communities.
And I'm wondering if you could comment as well about the comedian who opened this rally, the patently and really nakedly racist comments he made about other Latinos, about Palestinians, and in general his remarks.
I mean, all of these remarks, it's interesting that they choose to put these comedians forward, but it's not a surprise at all. The laundering of white supremacy through so-called comedy is a common tactic. But when you look at the white supremacist texts and publications that have inspired top Trump advisors like Stephen Miller, it is very clear that they believe in the racial inferiority of people of color, and that not only that, but that they promote violence towards these communities. The end goal of Trump's anti-immigrant and racist rhetoric is violence towards these communities. You know, they want to create an atmosphere of unsafety for communities of color across this nation. And it's very serious. It's not a joke. You know, they are trying to launder this through comedy. But when you look at what these people actually believe, what they have advocated for, and the policies that they have put in place previously and that they plan to put in place in a second Trump term, these are extremely serious and potentially deadly actions that would separate millions of mixed status families across the United States. Trump's mass deportations in a second term would be, they would make his family separations from his first term look restrained. They would be separating millions of undocumented mothers and fathers from U.S. citizen children across this country, leaving them financially and psychologically devastated. We've already seen the consequences of this in a first Trump term, and they would be unimaginably worse in a second one.
I wanted to play a few clips, Jean Guerrero. First, Trump's former lawyer, the former mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, who went on an anti-Palestinian rant as he took the stage.
Hamas is not there for us. Iran is not there for us. They want to kill us. And the Palestinians are taught to kill us at 2 years old.
Last week, a federal judge ordered Rudy Giuliani to hand over his luxury Manhattan apartment and other costly possessions to a pair of Georgia election workers who he defamed after Trump lost in 2020. Now, as this, what the Times called carnival, took place, Kamala Harris lost no time, especially on the attack on Puerto Ricans. On Sunday morning, she went to a Puerto Rican restaurant in Philadelphia. She also had released an ad there. But after this campaign rally of President Trump, Kamala Harris released another ad.
A floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
I will never forget what Donald Trump did. He abandoned the island and offered nothing more than paper towels and insults. Puerto Ricans deserve better. As president, I will always fight for you and your families. And together, we can chart a new way forward.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Now, we should say that the Trump campaign, after the enormous outcry, after Bad Bunny endorsed Kamala Harris right after all of this took place, the Trump campaign released a statement saying this joke, talking about the so-called comedian, talking about Puerto Rico as an island of garbage, this joke does not reflect the views of President Trump or the campaign. Danielle Alvarez, a Trump campaign spokesperson, said in a statement. That was one comment they referred to, but there were many for hours at Madison Square Garden. I want to go back to former Trump White House advisor Stephen Miller, who immediately launched into an anti-immigrant racist tirade when he took the stage at Madison Square Garden.
Who's going to stand up and say the cartels are gone, the criminal migrants are gone, the gangs are gone, America is for Americans and Americans only?
America is for Americans and Americans only. Now, Jean Guerrero, you are an expert on Steve Miller. You wrote a book about him, Hate Monger Stephen Miller, Donald Trump and the White Nationalist Agenda. People don't usually get to see him speaking unless they're at some of the rallies where he introduces President Trump. But he is very prominent in writing speeches and in creating and in working with Trump on this particular issue. Your comments on his significance and in one in a new Trump administration where so many of the officials have left Trump at this point in his former administration, but not Stephen Miller.
Exactly. He is one of Trump's most trusted advisors who shaped his immigration agenda, including the family separation policy, as you noted earlier, Amy. And when he says that America is for Americans only, it's extremely important to note that when it comes to a second Trump presidency, it's not only undocumented immigrants who would be deemed undesirable and disposable. It would also be Puerto Ricans, as we saw from this racist rally, even though Puerto Ricans are American citizens. It would also target legal immigrants. If Trump revives the Alien Enemies Act, as he vows to do, countless legal immigrants would be subject to mass internment and expulsion. But it doesn't even end with the foreign-born. When it comes to the vision of Stephen Miller and his and Trump's other close allies, when they talk about Americans only, they're talking about the far right only. And I know this based on the fact that when Trump talks about a quote-unquote enemy within, he is echoing the title of a book called The Enemy Within that was written by Stephen Miller's longtime mentor, a man named David Horowitz. And in this book, The Enemy Within, the entire political left is framed as an existential threat to the United States, one that must be defeated at all costs. And so when you listen to Stephen Miller talk about Americans only, a lot of people might feel safe thinking like, oh, you know, like I was born in the United States. A lot of Latino voters who are voting for Trump might think that they are immune from these expulsions and these really terrorizing plans that they have in place for the Latino community. But that's absolutely wrong. They're not going to stop with people who are undocumented. They're not going to stop even with the foreign born. If you are a liberal, if you believe in compassion and equality and freedom for all, you do not belong in Trump's America. You are American only in the American only vision if you embrace hatred, if you embrace division, and if you embrace this exclusionary vision of America where only certain people who fit the white nationalist agenda belong.
Jean Guerrero, we want to thank you for being with us, contributing opinion writer for The New York Times, author of Hate Monger, Stephen Miller, Donald Trump and the White Nationalist Agenda, and Crux, a cross-border memoir, which won a Penn Literary Award.